You're listening to KCRW. I'm Larry Perel. You know, there's been some fascinating news from the art world recently, and it has to do with who is the rightful owner of stolen paintings. Well, earlier this month, an L.A. judge ruled that a painting by Impressionist artist Camille Pissarro should not be returned to a San Diego family that claims it was stolen from them by the Nazis during World War II. The painting, considered an invaluable masterpiece, will remain at a museum in Spain. That's where that painting ended up, the National Thyssen-Bornemisza Museum in Madrid. And then earlier this week, a different case was resolved. A set of paintings from the Renaissance period by Cranach the Elder will remain on display just down the road here at the Norton Simon Museum in Pasadena. That art also has a dark past that started with being looted by the Nazis. And here to help us make sense of it all is a lawyer who specializes in Holocaust restitution cases, Nicholas O'Donnell. Hi there, Nicholas.
Hello.
So you're familiar with these two cases. In both, the artwork originally belonging to Jewish families wound up staying with these two museums. Can you briefly explain the cases and how the art managed to stay in their hands?
Both cases are quite complicated, but in a nutshell, with regard to the Pissarro that is in Spain, the painting was looted from a woman named Lily Kassirer, who was a German Jew. And after the war, painting entered the international art market and was eventually purchased by a man named Hans Heinrich Thyssen-Bornemisza, who amassed a large collection that he eventually sold to the Kingdom of Spain in 1993. When the Kassirer heirs learned where the painting was in the late 90s, they approached the museum, and when negotiations failed, they brought suit in United States District Court in Los Angeles, and the case lasted now approximately 14 years. Ultimately, it was resolved because the trial judge concluded that under Swiss law, Thyssen-Bornemisza had not acquired good title in the 1970s when he bought the painting, but that under Spanish law, when the current museum bought it in 1993 and then possessed it for 7 years, it became the owner of the painting. With regard to the Cranachs that are at the Norton Simon, they originally belonged to a very famous collector and dealer named Jacques Houtsteker, who was a Dutch Jew. After the Nazis took over the Netherlands, Hermann Göring and his henchmen took over Houtsteker's business. Houtsteker fled the country and unfortunately died en route to America. In the 1960s, the Kingdom of the Netherlands actually returned the painting by a sale to a man named George Stroganov, who claimed that he was the first owner of the painting and that it had been taken from him by the Soviet Union during the Russian Revolution. After Marais von Seiher, who is Houtsteker's heir at law, brought suit, ultimately the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals concluded that because the Netherlands had returned the painting to Stroganov in the 60s, that all the other theories of title and restitution couldn't be decided by a U.S. court because the court would have to revisit, in its view, a decision by another sovereign country, and it declined to do so.
All right, let's talk about the Pissarro for a second. The L.A. Times says that painting made it into the hands of, as you mentioned, the Swiss art collector, and that even the judge in this case was said to have known that the collector had a reputation for owning pieces that were looted by the Nazis. If that was known, is it likely the museum in Spain knew as well?
The judge found, as a matter of fact, that when the museum acquired the collection in the 90s, it did not research the what we call the provenance, the history of the collection, prior to 1980. So whether they actually knew or not, I couldn't say, but they certainly, at least in the judge's findings, didn't look back past a certain point. And that, of course, would have mattered a great deal if the seven-year deadline hadn't passed, because Thyssen-Bornemisza, when he acquired it, whether he actually knew or not of its history, that he didn't qualify as a good faith purchaser to take ownership of the painting.
I see. You mentioned something called a seven-year rule. Could you explain that a little bit?
So under Spanish law, if a purchaser acquires a piece of property in good faith, that is to say that they do not know that it was stolen, and they then hold it publicly enough for 7 years that the original owner could find it if that owner were looking for it, that even though the later purchaser did not become the real owner at the time of purchase, if 7 years go by and those requirements are met, they become the owner.
All right. In cases like these, especially in the San Diego case where the federal government ruled against the family, what kind of responsibility does the federal government have in cases like this, or do they?
Well, what gets complicated is the international arena in this topic goes back to something called the Washington Conference, which happened in 1998. And one of the things that came out of that conference are what we now call the Washington Principles on Nazi Confiscated Art. And those are aspirational, non-legal provisions that the countries in attendance agreed to, countries that included Spain, about how to handle claims. The challenge has been that the Washington Principles is that ultimately that phrase is in the eye of the beholder and often in the eye of the possessor, and there is no enforcement mechanism to resolve a disagreement about whether the solution that's been proposed is fair and just.
You mentioned the seven-year rule with the museum in Spain. What about the museum in Pasadena at the Norton Simon? What kind of standard do they kind of follow in situations like this? And if they know that a painting might have been looted, what's their responsibility in that kind of situation?
So for a museum in the United States, again, the Washington Principles apply to governments. And one of the challenges within the United States in terms of how to grapple with this is most art in the United States, most museums in the United States are not owned by the government. Again, the challenge is there's no enforcement mechanism. These are not laws. If a museum arguably does not follow these principles, the claimants don't have a separate contract claim against them. It's not something the museum's promised the claimants to do. And for whatever reason, the museum associations have really not been vocal in any instances where a museum might not be following these rules.
What would you like to see happen when situations like this arise?
An exhaustive research effort needs to be done. The Germans founded a Center for Cultural Property Losses 5 or 6 years ago in response to the Gurlitt scandal. But the funding for that, you know, is on the order of $2 million a year. But a few provenance reports at a few museums per year really is not a comprehensive solution. And, you know, on this side of the ocean, I would like to see associations that promulgate these principles be more vocal about museums that are not complying with them.
You know, the Norton Simon declined to come on with us live, but they did comment on the paintings by releasing a statement to us. And what they said was that they were pleased that the U.S. Supreme Court had denied the plaintiff's petition for review and finally put an end to the lawsuit, and that the unanimous decision of the Ninth Circuit is now final, confirming that the Norton Simon Art Foundation has proper title to these paintings. Is this the end of the road for these families?
For the Chronix, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Nicholas O'Donnell is a partner at Sullivan and Worcester in Boston and the author of A Tragic Fate, Law and Ethics in the Battle Over Nazi Looted Art. Nicholas, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
My great pleasure. Thank you very much.